Actually, I'm not sure whether people would like to be recorded and they're reporting out. Maybe we don't. I don't know how people feel. You okay? Anyone not okay? All right then. Okay, so what I suggest is we have one person from each group who shares some stuff from it. And then maybe we might have time just to do like a closing circle where you say a word or a sentence about how you are. And then I'll do some thank yous. We'll do a bit of what next. Maybe a short meditation and then the closing ritual. That's the plan. So I don't know who was in which group. So what I suggest is just one person jumps in and then other people. The next person who wants to do it can put their hand up and then they can jump in after or something. So, is there anybody that feels they would be happy to report back for their group?
Shall I start?
Thanks, Louise.
Is that okay with my group members? Yeah. Okay. Well, but briefly, we talked about how it is possible to build a community online and that how surprising that was, and Harpreet and Jane have more experience with that than I do, but the essentially was that we were able to connect to an online sort of platform, which was lovely, and this sense of community that we found, and that it's having busy lives, you know, it's so much easier to do the online thing sometimes, and we shared stories of how I'm a beginner, you know, I'm really a newcomer to this and my mind is all over the place. I'm a fast person. Jane was saying how fast she is. And I sit down to an unguided meditation, my mind pings around, and that's reassuring to hear that other people have the same experience in the group, and that's quite normal, and there are ways of kind of, you know, relating to that, I guess. So yeah, and information about where to find more resources and really useful things like that came from our discussion too, which I found really good. I don't know, but I think that's roughly it. I don't know if anyone else wants to add.
Yeah, feel free to add anyone from Louise's group, Harpreet or Jane, if you want.
Yeah, no, I think you surmised very well, Louise. Yeah, it's just been wonderful to be part of this community, though quite short, you know, for those of us that can't get to the centre so easily, it can feel quite isolating, I guess, still sort of on that meditation journey by yourself. So yeah, it's been wonderful to be able to be part of this community online. So looking forward to more online retreats and hopefully more in-person retreats this year also. Yeah, so thank you.
Welcome, Sujani. We're just doing a little bit of reporting out, and then we're going to be doing a bit of meditation and a closing ritual. So, anyone from another group like to share?
My group are going to help me out with this. Potency of an online retreat. The qualities of having an online retreat, bringing the Dharma into your home, at a time when, there's a lot of association with going out and partying, how potent it can be to actually be indoors and connecting to Dharma. A huge appreciation. I mean, the term was used, teachers. I'm not so comfortable with the term, communicators to the Dharma. Maitreepushpa, Bodhilila, Ratnadeva. I've personally practiced a lot of quite renowned teachers, particularly in this order. And the depth of practice of you three is the deepest that I've come into connection with. Authenticity, that came up again and again. The fact that you're all communicating the Dharma in your unique ways and how simpatico, I like a kind of rhythm, you know, you're all playing the blues, but you all have your own arrangement of it that just works off. I noticed there was like a symbiosis between how you were imparting it and, you know, Maitri Pushpa's embodiment of metta and accepting, you know, the loss. Bodhilila, this paradox of mindfulness, this allowing, this thing of not trying so hard to get enlightened and woke, and just meeting yourself with kindness and allowing yourself not to make any progress. And then Ratnadeva breaking it down, gratitude. And again today, this thing between concentration and the breath, and it's just very potent and speaks to us. And it's like somebody mentioned that, you know, it's like you're hearing it for the first time again, or it doesn't matter how many times you hear it, you need to, a part of you hears it again and it resonates. And for that, we were very grateful. And it has to be said, it was important that there is a diversity on the team. You know, we have two black people, we have an Irish man and an American woman. It makes a difference as well. It's really about who you are, but that is a quality that is appreciated in our group as well. Again, potent. Help me out here, guys, if there's anything I'm missing. For me, it was a very potent retreat, personally. I mean, I had some grief come up this morning, totally spontaneous. And I cultivated a retreat where I was like retreat conditions. But the beauty is that I also had a puja in the bath, and I went for a run. That's why I'm actually speaking to you from a phone box in Camden Town. But I feel really engaged with the qualities of Dharma and this retreat. That was the other thing. And help me out, people, if I'm missing anything here. And I'm always, to some degree, shocked and moved by this community. You people, the difference you make, the fact that you come here with, frankly, curiosity and courage when you could be doing something else, to connect to something meaningful and not always easy. And the fact you honour the space, the breakout groups. I nearly didn't attend the breakout group today because I thought, well, my body needed to run. And then I thought, no, actually, this is meaningful. I can't think of anything more meaningful than sharing this kind of festive period and New Year's with you. So, you know, props and respect are due. John, Amanda, Pamela, is there anything I've missed?
Absolutely nothing, Biggs. Like, you're so succinct and passionate. Like, you encapsulated everything like that was actually said. Like, thank you so much.
I am because you are, because of where I'm at and who you are.
Yeah,
and one last thing. This is a cumulative thing. The first time I attended retreats and courses with West London and the order members and the Sangha there, and Sangha manifests at West London. It's very rare. It manifests. There was a shift in me. It spoke to me. It had meaning for me. But I still had this cynical, oh, well, you know. But I kept following my nose and going back. And it's a cumulative effect. Where I was 4 years ago is not where I am now. And that's this space. So bless you. Thank you.
Thanks, Boogs. Anyone else? Go for it.
I'll speak. I was with Natty and Louise, and we sort of had quite a wide-ranging talk about mindfulness in the workplace, as well as, you know, what we were getting from the retreat, how the two, you know, do the two, you know, do they translate? What can we take personally and maybe more, yeah, generally out into the world. We talked too, as Boog said, about how the teachers for want of a better word, how there seemed to be a real richness in the three of you, in what you brought, complementing each other, different and complementary, and how helpful that was. So we reflected on that. We all enjoyed this and learned and gained from it. I spoke about Ratnadeva giving me a very clear structure for meditation this morning. Body, concentration, contemplation. I just found that thrilling, actually, to have that scaffold. I feel really grateful. But I'm also aware there isn't one way. So when Bodhilila, you just said, you know, just sitting can be just that. I mean, that's also very helpful. So all these different approaches seem to weave together to offer something very rich, I think. What have I left out, Natty, Louise? Anything you'd add? I have a couple of questions. I don't know if this is the right time. Just one is, I'd love to know where the puja from last night, where I can access that. So I hadn't heard that sevenfold puja before, and I'd love to read it again. And Ratnadeva, you quoted something about what we pay attention to shapes our minds. And I wasn't sure if that was the Dhammapada or a different text, but I'm very curious to know where to access that as well.
Okay, so I think this space is for people reporting out, but right. Also those things should be on the website by the end of the day. Yeah.
Thank you. Can I just add, Penny, as well? We talked about, I think, emphasising again that there isn't just one way. And I find I'm finding what's quite exciting, and Natty talked about this as well, is how the movement is really exploring how, you know, how we are in the world, how we process information in different ways, how that's really being acknowledged and recognised by Tri Ratna and is being brought into retreats. So, for example, if you have, if you're someone who needs to move around a lot, or if you're someone who is more reflective, or maybe study, it's open to everyone, and and there are more opportunities, I feel, now for different approaches and for that being okay. So I really celebrate that because that's, yeah. And we did touch on that as well. Would that be fair to say, Penny?
Yes.
So thank you.
Yes, thank you.
So I think there was one more group. Is that right? Or am I? Let's see. Who's? Has everyone's group gone? No. So is there anybody from the last group who might be willing to share something?
And the mantra chanting, that was very potent. Really found the exploring into the mantras and the playfulness of us and helping us with the mantras. Just thought I'd say that too. And the Dhammapada puja, I like that one too.
Okay. So if you don't feel like talking on behalf of
everyone. I can say something about our group. That's all right. But some of it, for myself, it was quite challenging in the beginning when we reflected about unskillful actions, and I found I was quite restless and agitated. But as the meditations came, it seemed to ease, and it seemed to be getting deeper and more potent, and that was very, very yeah, it was good. And the rest of us thought also that the meditations were quite potent and deep. And we did make reference to this morning with the introduction, you know, the looking at breathing in the heart and the chest and the breath leading to sitting was quite a good anchor to the sitting. So that's been said before. And yeah, I think that was it really. That's the main things that we were talking about.
Thank you. So if there's anyone who wants to add anything, or anyone who wasn't in a group that wants to add anything, then do feel free just to unmute and say something, or even post something in the chat.
I'm loving the idea of a phone box retreat. I think could have started something off there, Boogs.
Okay, speak now or forever hold your peace. Okay, so we'll move on. I think what I wanted to do is say a few thank yous. So I did say a thank you to Maitri Pushpa this morning because she couldn't be here this afternoon, but I do want to say again a really big thank you to Maitri Pushpa, who's been tremendous, not just in the sessions she's led and her teaching and what she embodies and bringing that background of body work from having been like a yoga teacher as well as meditation and Dharma teacher, you know, into those very body-based meditation practices. But I also thought that she really opened up the retreat and set us off in such a great way. And she just embodies that friendliness, that kindness and playfulness as well that I really appreciated on the retreat. But what you might not know is how much work she's been doing behind, because she's the one that actually created the website for the retreat. And for the first couple of days, she was posting everything up on that. Yeah, she also helped put up the retreat on the center's website and on Ticket Tailor and all those sorts of things. So without her, there probably would have been no retreat. And I'd also like to say a very big thank you to Amanda, who at fairly short notice agreed to be our Zoom host for the retreat. And it makes a really big difference having somebody who's willing to do that. Some of you may have been on a retreat that Ratnadeva and I did. I forget when it was, but we just kept on forgetting to record everything. It's when you're actually leading, it's sort of hard to remember all the bits and pieces. And just, you know, having her there and having her welcoming everybody and just in a way creating that space, holding the space, has been really, you know, really valuable and also really lovely having her on the team. Yes, I would encourage people, if you get the chance to be on teams, because you do connect up with people, you do develop friendships and you do get to know each other better, and you're not just having to meet up and have an awkward cup of tea and think of what to say, but you're actually just working together on a project. And very big thank you to Ratnadeva, who, well, he missed the first part of the retreat because he wasn't here, but he had something like a 12-hour journey back from Ireland, and then he was here first thing in the morning and all day, and and the contributions that he made last night tonight, I think, were really terrific. And I thought there was a lot of originality and personal reflection, especially in the one this morning when he was talking about paying attention, but all the sort of examples that he brought in that were so accessible, weren't they, to our everyday lives. And yes, it's always nice having a mantra with a Shruti box or accordion giving us a bit of oomph to it. Yeah. And I also want to say a very big, yeah, and also he's been posting up stuff on the retreat webpage this last couple of days, so thank you for that as well. Yeah, and I wanted to thank all of you who've been coming and practicing, and we've co-created this space, we've co-created this community, and it could have not felt like a community, but it's because of how you've shown up and how you've been and communicated with each other, how we've been practicing together, that it has felt like a community, you know, that has felt safe enough for people to be authentic and share in the groups or in the wider, you know, group sessions. And it is interesting, isn't it, that even though we're in different spaces, even though we're sort of like connecting virtually via Zoom, you can get a real sense of people and their energy and their presence, and that can support us in our practice, having the other people around practicing as well. And hopefully if you felt supported by others, you can also acknowledge that you've been supporting them. Yeah, it's a mutual space that we've co-created here. And without any of you showing up or practicing, wouldn't have happened. I remember, I don't know, maybe a couple of weeks ago, I was looking and we got like 3 bookings, and I was thinking, oh, are we going to do it? Should we cancel it? Whatever. I thought, no, people book at the last minute. And it's been great having you all here. So I thought we might just mention a few things. What next? I know not everybody lives in London.
Sorry, could I interrupt and give a shout for your good self? And Boogs mentioned the word authenticity, and it is always inspiring to hear you teach from your life experience, your deep reflection on that experience, and you communicate that with an honesty and a depth which always reaches my heart, at least. And thanks also for leading us into the new year last night with that beautiful puja. And for your leadership. Thank you for all those. You are a gem.
Okay, well, West London Buddhist Centre. I think we are kind of a unique community. You know, sometimes we've got, well, I know in the wider movement, we haven't always had the best reputation, but I think what we do is we offer the kind of space and more diversity and inclusivity, and we do have teachers teaching from our own practice, and I think we make it a supportive place for a whole load of people that might find it hard fitting into some other situations. And, you know, it's a struggle. We're a little centre. This last year it's been a lot of the time just me and Ratnadeva on the team. Now we've got Andy, which is great. So it really makes a difference, you know, people coming and practicing and being generous and volunteering. And there's people here who really help the centre run. Anyway, what am I saying? Yes. So I just wanted to do a heads up that we're starting the new year, and because I'm behind on pinning down a few people, we haven't got our full program yet, but that will be following. But there are quite a lot of things that you can book on. All our festival days you can find out about, and you can book on most of our retreats. There's one extra one that I managed to fit in, which is a midweek one at Athona in July, which will be awesome because it's by the sea, and at that time of the year it'll be great. And also I've managed to get us Adisthana trialing multi-sangha retreats, and we're going to go in the one in November, and we've got I think 10 to 20 places where we can bring people from our sangha, and there'll be people from other sanghas, and then people like Pranyanita, who's living at Adisthana, will be there. The Adisthana team will be teaching it. If you remember Ratnaprabha, he will also be there teaching. Anyway, but in terms of us, we will be doing courses, classes in person. There's some stuff happening online, but it's not so much. There's the early morning meditations that Ratnadeva and Amanda are part of the team that do, 7 o'clock in the morning, if you feel like doing that. And then we've got, at the moment, a Thursday night online class, and then possibly we'll be doing an online retreat around Easter and another one around New Year next year. But what I would say is that Paramananda and I, who did a whole lot of retreats for West London, we're doing one for the Buddhist Centre online in February, so if you check out their site, you'll find it. But I'm going to pass you over to Ratnadeva, because he's going to be doing three things that I would say, go on them, really go on them. And some of you might not know that Ratnadeva is going to be leaving the West London Centre and going back to Ireland in April next year. So take advantage of every moment you can get with him in the meantime.
Thanks, Bodhlila. Do come along to a mindfulness for stress course that's starting on the 15th of January evenings. So that's Monday evenings. And that's an 8 weeks course. So I have been referring to secular mindfulness, the whole tradition, beautiful way of looking at an evidence-based approach to meditation and de-stressing. And then on Wednesdays from the 17th of January, so the same week that the Mindfulness for Stress course begins, there's a 6 week course, again in the evenings, Wednesday evenings, and it's on Buddhist psychology. It's called Mind and Harmony, and we'll be looking at how the tradition within Buddhism called the Abhidharma looks at the mind from a Buddhist perspective. Aspects like the one we were looking at this morning, attention, looks at how the mind works and how we can work with our minds on a very practical basis. And finally, there's a retreat coming up in February, mid-February, 16th to the 18th of February, and that's at lovely Athona on the Essex coast, where we're well fed. It's a beautiful space with big skies right by the sea, 3 minutes walk from the sea. And we'll be looking at a theme dear to my heart, which is radical acceptance, letting in, and also paired with letting go. So that's from the 16th to the 18th of February in Athona. Hope to see some of you on any one of those or all of those three events.
And I'd just like to plug one more course, which is, again, a secular mindfulness course. We do the Breathworks courses, and this is the Mindfulness for Health course, which I'll be doing starting the first week in February on Saturday the 3rd in the afternoon. And it'll be co-led by Maitri Nita. So the Mindfulness for Health course is a really great course, which is particularly geared towards anybody who might have any kind of health condition or chronic pain, or be suffering from fatigue and stress related to them. It's got a lot of depth to it, and with all these secular mindfulness courses, it's giving you tools to be able to make a change in how you live your daily life. There's a lot of pacing in there, there's a bit of neuroscience in there, there's what I would call the Brahma Viharas, are sort of like imbuing it, but they don't use those words, but definitely kindness, compassion, gladness, equanimity is underpinning that course. And sometimes people think, my condition isn't bad enough, you know, I just have migraines, or I just have dizziness, or I've got backache or whatever. And sometimes people think, my condition is too much and it'll overwhelm everybody. It's open to all kinds of people. And I think if you do find yourself, even temporarily, maybe you've had an accident, you've broken your leg or something and you've been dealing with that, what it does, it doesn't necessarily change your condition, the underlying condition, but what it does is give you all kinds of tools for dealing with it better and managing your life and getting a better quality of life. And that can include, you know, some mental health conditions as well. I mean, the last course I had a lot of people on it who were identifying, well, we had one person with dementia, someone with ADHD, other people with I'm not going to go into all of that, but yes. So I would say it's a great course. If you know anybody that you think could benefit from it, do think about coming on it. Another 8 week course, Saturday afternoons. And we do always offer a limited number of low cost bursary places for those who can't afford the fee. Yeah, so I think we'll end that bit there. So let's now move into just a little period of meditation. So maybe about 15, 20 minutes of meditation, and then we'll do the ending ritual. So kindness and awareness really there at the root of everything. So I'll just be leading us a little bit and then I'll leave you to it. But just helping us to connect with those two qualities. So just sitting or lying, whatever position you're in. Arriving back in your meditation posture. So I've been talking with each other. And it's been quite a moving space. Connecting with each other, hearing from each other. So if you've got that sense of your heart being open, that sense of connection, then allow your attention to rest there. Take it in, any feelings of warmth, positivity, happiness, any pleasant sensations in the body. If we're enjoying ourselves, if we're feeling happy and connected, then that's much harder to be in a state of ill will. So just allowing yourself to take advantage of any positive experience or emotions to connect with a sense of well-being and kindness. And if there's anything that's more challenging, if there's any discomfort, tension or pain in your body, maybe just turning towards it with an attitude of care and tenderness. Have some kindness and compassion towards yourself and the fact that you're experiencing that dukkha in your body right now. What would it be like if you just imagined breathing into that area with kindness, perhaps softening, letting go if you're aware of any tension. Feeling that contact with your seat, with the ground. Be being aware of the environment around you. Taking in through your senses, temperature of the room. Any sounds, any smells, contact, that sense of touch with the chair, the floor, cushions, blankets, and also the sensation of the clothes against your skin. Different those areas that are uncovered. Where are your hands resting? What are they touching? What's that experience like right now in the moment? Bringing awareness to your face, the whole face, but also taking in different areas like the forehead, the eyes, the eyebrows, the eyelids resting on the eyes. Cheekbones, sides of the cheeks, nose and the nostrils, lips, the upper lips, the lower lips, and the chin, and that sense of the jaw bones, upper jaw and the lower jaw. Maybe inside the mouth, teeth, the palate, tongue. Perhaps you can taste something. Saliva. Perhaps you had a drink. There's still the echo of that in your mouth. And just paying attention to your breathing. So the area around the nostrils. Tracking the breath which travels up the nostrils, down the throat, towards the lungs, chest. And feeling the movement around the chest. Rise and fall of the chest, the rib cage gently expanding, contracting as the lungs expand and contract. Can you feel the breath in the back of the body, particularly the upper back? Maybe the shoulder blades moving as you breathe. The diaphragm, the belly. Perhaps subtle sensations around the groin. There's a second diaphragm there. The diaphragm at the base of the throat, and sometimes you can feel subtle sensations in those areas as we breathe. Your whole body is breathing. As you sit or lie, paying attention to the breath, experiencing yourself as a breathing body, sensitive to the whole body as you breathe in, as you breathe out. Yes, pay attention to your body, different areas in the body. You'll be aware of your energy, your mood. Body holds all of our experience, and sometimes we may not be aware in our minds, our thoughts, how we're feeling, but the body knows. Just listening to your body. Helping it connect to the whole of your experience, your emotions, underlying mental state. Noticing what's there, what's not there. Even if your mind is busy, feeling restless in your body, or something else is drawing your attention. Just taking it in, being aware of it, and trying not to get caught up. Mind like the sky, maybe clouds, but underneath it there's that clear blue sky. So don't worry whatever's going on now, because underneath it there's a clearness to your mind and your heart. That Buddha nature within. You have something to give. Each of us unique. Can you value your own uniqueness, however messy that may be, however complex that might be? Appreciate yourself, value yourself, care for yourself. Be there for yourself. And the more we can be there, accept ourselves, allow ourselves to be flawed, imperfect, the more we can be there for others. If we stop judging ourselves, we allow ourselves to be who we are. We can do that for others. And if they see us being authentic, being real, give them permission too. So we're not just doing it for ourselves. We're not alone, we're all connected and interconnected. other people, other living beings, the living planet. In a simple way, every breath brings together the outer world, not inner world. And the connection between them. Breathing in, breathing out. And being part of all the breathing living beings inhabiting this world. Looking after oneself, one looks after others. Looking after others, one looks after oneself. So we're going to end a very small ritual. We're going to do three verses from the Avatamsaka Sutra in call and response, which are basically just another version of going for refuge to the Buddha, the Dharma and the Sangha. And then we'll sing those three verses, paying homage to the Buddha, the Dharma, the Sangha. When that draws to silence, Ratnadeva will be leading us in the Sabha Sate Sukhi Hontu mantra for the well-being of others. Yes. And then that will be the end of this retreat. I take my refuge in the Buddha.
I take my refuge in the Buddha.
And pray that with all beings.
And pray that with all beings.
I may understand the great way.
I may understand the great way.
Whereby the Buddha seed may forever thrive.
Whereby the Buddha seed may forever thrive.
I take my refuge in the Dharma.
I take my refuge in the Dharma.
And pray that with all beings.
And pray that with all beings.
I may enter deeply into the Sutra treasure.
I may enter deeply into the Sutra treasure.
Whereby our wisdom.
Whereby our wisdom.
May become vast as the ocean.
May become vast as the ocean.
I take my refuge in the Sangha.
I take my refuge in the Sangha.
And pray that with all beings.
And pray that with all beings.
I may be brought together in great harmony.
I may be brought together in great harmony.
And have nothing to check.
And have nothing to check.
The unimpeded progress of truth.
The unimpeded progress of truth.
Nati me saranang anyam. Buddho me saranang varam. Etena satyavacena. Hotu me jayamangalam. Nati me saranang anyam. Dhammo me saranang param. Etena satyavacena. Hotu me jayamangalam. Nati me saranang anyam. Sangho me saranang param. Etena satyavacena. Hotu me jayamangalam. Namo Buddhaya. Namo Dhammaya. Namo Sanghaya. Sadhu. Sadhu.
Sabe sata suki hontu. May all beings be happy. Sabe sata suki hontu. 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 Sabe
sat at sigi hontu sabe sat at sigi hontu sabe sat at sigi hontu sabe sat Sigi hontu sabe sata sigi hontu sabe sata sigi hontu sabe sata sigi Sabe sata sigi hontu 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 Sabe
So that marks the end of our retreat, this shared journey we've been on together these last few days. Go well into the new year. And if you want to unmute and say goodbye or post anything in the chat, just feel free to do that. Thank you all very much for making this, well, for me, it felt like a really deep, quite meaningful retreat. So. Thank you.